Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Let's read our text, Luke 19, 29 and 34. When he had said these things, he went on ahead, going on to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said, "Go into the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent left and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the young donkey, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the donkey?' 'The Lord needs it,' they said." At this point in Jesus' story, what we've just read, in his story, he only had a few days to live. Yeah? This is the beginning of the Holy Week. Yeah? The so-called Holy Week in the history or the story of Christ. His entry into Jerusalem would start a series of events that would culminate in his crucifixion. So this is the start of Christ's final moments. Think about that, the final moments. If you only had a few days left to live, as in if it came to your realization, you suddenly realize that these are my final moments or this is my final week, what would you prioritize? Some people would prioritize chapo, eh? Since this is my last week, nitakula chapo kila siku, you know? Others would prioritize what? Eh? Bottomless pizza. Fish. I know I'm making a joke of it. You probably wouldn't have any appetite if you knew it was your last week, yeah? But we talk about the bucket list, what I must do before I exit. But really, what would you do if this was your final week? What would you say? What would you focus on? I'm sure it would be the most important things, yeah? Not too long ago, actually some years now ago, we as a family, my husband and I and our two children, were in a really bad car accident. That car accident brought us like this close to the final exit. We are like, and I don't know, God totally delivered us. I'm telling you, this is our testimony. Because we had a head-on crash with like a 12-wheeler, a truck that big, you know, that just came hurtling towards us on our lane for no good reason. But we survived that experience completely unharmed. Praise the Lord. But I remember when we went back home, most of the night we had been at the hospital being checked, especially Victor and I, because we were in the front seats. And they said, "You're okay, you're good, go home, just some painkillers, you know." And so we go home and I go to my room and I remember looking in my room, which was so nice and neat and beautiful. And I thought to myself, this room, this place is a gift, yeah? I just knew it's a gift. That a moment ago, I wouldn't have had it because I'd have already gone, you know. I remember going out to my plants, which the day before, I can remember fussing over them because somebody had done something with my plants. My plants. And I remember thinking to myself, these are not your plants. How do you even own these plants? You know, the day comes when you go and the plants are left. You know, there's a tree in your compound that will be there 100 years after you've gone. Yanni, does that give you perspective about life and eternity? You know, I think some of these things God has put on earth so that we can see and understand eternity. So the final moments and just any close encounter with death can just really put a sharp focus on priorities. You know, can really heighten your sense of what is important and what is not important. And so that's what we want to do. We want to focus on that week and see what was Christ's focus in that last week, that holy week. Over the next few weeks, leading up to Easter Sunday, amen, and the cantata, hallelujah, we are going to be looking at Jesus' final moments, the last days leading up to the cross. The series during this month is going to be called Focus of Christ's Final Moments. I love it. And today we are going to look at his first focus, the summoning. The summoning. So I'm sharing on the summoning today, but in the coming weeks, others will be sharing so that you have that to look forward to. Amen? So the summoning. I'm sure you're wondering, the summoning? Yeah? In these verses, we see what Christ, one of the first things that Christ focused on was to fulfill a particular prophecy. Years before, his entry into Jerusalem had been prophesied in Zechariah 9:9. And it said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem." This is prophesying over Jerusalem. "See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So that was the prophecy. And Christ is coming into Jerusalem, and he knows, because he knew what was written about him. He knows that he needs to enter into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. So to fulfill that scripture, he needed the donkey. He sent out two of his disciples saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt, a young donkey tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you tell them what? 'The Lord needs it.'" Now, Luke 19:31 in the Amplified says, "The Lord has need of it." Yeah? A donkey was summoned to its work and to its purpose because the Lord had need of it. Disciples were required to carry the summons because the Lord had need of it. Owners were expected to cooperate because the Lord needed that donkey. The summoning at the beginning of this holy week. The word summon means this: to issue a call or a call to convene. So you're issuing a call to convene something. It also means to command by service of a summons to appear in court. You know, if you ever receive summons to appear in court, you must do what? You must go. So that tells you the weight of this word. A summon is no simple thing. If you get a summon to appear in court and you don't go, you're in big trouble. If you were not guilty before, now you are what? Guilty. So that's the summon. The third meaning of summon would be to call upon for a specified action. You are summoned to come and do something. Do you remember ever being summoned to the headmistress's or headmaster's office? The principal's office? How was that like? Quite an experience. Listen, we are summoned by him as well. We are called by him. He has need of us. You know, the donkey was in the right place at the right time. The donkey was where it should be, ready to do what the Lord needed it to do. Remember last week when Pastor Murphy preached about that we are called to be where to be in such a time as this. So consider yourself to be in the right place and consider yourself to be needed where God has placed you. If it's in your neighborhood, God needs you there. Jesus needs you there. In your school, you are needed there. There are people in your neighborhood, in your school, that you will associate with that none of us here will ever associate with. Because they are your people. God has placed you in their midst, yeah? Your office, your family. Many times we don't want, it's like, family? Lord, send somebody else. Me, send me to Kawagware, how are we to? Let somebody else deal with them. But no, God put you in that family. God placed you right in the middle of them. And God needs you there. So it's with care that you bring the word of the Lord and the message of them to them, because you are needed there. Amen? The Lord needs you there. Verse 31, if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say this, the Lord needs you. You're going to hear it many times. The Lord needs you. In this summoning, the disciples didn't have to come up with ways to explain, persuade, or clarify motives. They were told, you just don't explain it. Jesus didn't tell them, you show them Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and explain to them that that was prophesying and I need to come in majestic, riding, oh, humble and righteous. Mm-mm. They were just told, you go and say what? The Lord needs it. The disciples were to expect simple obedience. Anything else would be a complication. And we are here to simply say to you this, the Lord needs you. Yeah? The Lord needs you for his word to be fulfilled where you are. So you've got to ask yourself, what is tying you? What's got you all tied up to the post? What's hindering you? What's keeping you stuck in one place? Why will you not move towards obedience, towards service? You know very well the urgings of the Lord, the nudging of the Lord. He's saying, obey me in this way. I need you here. But why are you stuck? Why are you unmoved? Why are you untied? Why are you looking elsewhere for something else to do instead of listening to what God has for you right here? Jesus anticipated some opposition to this untying. That's why he said, if anyone asks, this is what you tell them. And he gave them the answer. You see, there are some stakeholders. The scripture refers to them as owners. I found it interesting that the scripture didn't say there was an owner or the owner said. The scripture actually says owners, yeah? As they were untying the colt, the owners asked, why are you untying the colt? We too have owners, right? There are stakeholders in our lives, yeah? What may be keeping you tied to the pole? Is it these owners? You know, those ones who have to buy in so that we can untie and use the donkey. You know, it's like in our lives, we have these stakeholders that we feel like we have to get their buy-in. Yeah? We have to persuade them before we can obey the Lord. Or rather, we feel like we have to get their agreement, their support, in order to obey God. Why are we unmoving towards his will? I see three things in these verses, and I want to share those things with you. The first thing we've already referred to, and that is vested interests. Vested interests. Yeah? Vested interests is from the people who are the owners. The owners. I want us to use our imagination a little, because the Bible doesn't say who these owners were. So we've got to use our imagination and see who they might be. And the first would be the real owner. You know, there's a real owner. The one who paid good money for that donkey. That's the owner of the donkey. That owner has invested heavily into its care and its good health. That owner has plans for it, you know. And we are the same. There are people who are owners in our lives and they have vested interest because they have invested a lot. They've educated us. They've supported us. They've come to our fundraisers. They know everything about us. And now we feel like we can't move this way an inch towards obedience to God without consulting, without persuading, without getting their buy-in. These guys may be parents. It may be a spouse. It may be siblings. It's usually a close relation, someone who really does care and somebody who really does put a lot into your life. And we are grateful for that. We respect that, you know, we honor that. And I want to say to parents, especially in the most honoring way, that when your children are following God and are seeking to obey because God needs them, release them. Amen? This is what you raise them for. Come on. You raise them to hear and obey God and to follow him. And I know our society wants us to feel like we raised them so that they can be architects and aeronautical engineers, and which is the other one? Lawyer and doctors. I'm thinking of what the grade 8 students always say when they are interviewed. It's like we feel like unless they are that, we have failed. But you know what? The children don't belong to us. We are stewards. They belong to God. The donkey didn't belong to those people. The donkey belongs to the creator of all things. Amen? And I just want to share and say that I know that the parents of Nairobi Lighthouse Church are the best. You know, we are serving in kids' house and we see the way you love your kids. We see the way you support them. We see the way you bring them to the house of God. We see the way you encourage them to serve, and it's so awesome. Thank you. Come on, can we appreciate our parents? But I think you hear what I'm saying, that sometimes we feel like, oh my goodness, if that child goes for a mission to Tharaka, they might come back and go, the Lord has called them to be a missionary. And I don't want that. I want them to go live in Geneva so that when I'm old, I can come and visit. We have vested interests. You know what? Just let go. Come on, let go. Amen? God has a bigger and better plan for your children. And I'm telling you, if you let them go and flow with God, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be incredibly awesome. Amen? You know, the other stakeholder, the other owner is the user. There's a user. There's somebody who just stands to benefit. Because the donkey is there. They don't own it, but they have access to the donkey. And they may not want the donkey to be too far away, you know, out there going through the city when they need it to fetch water or firewood or deliver some goods or something. That's the user, you know. I used to live in an apartment building a long time ago, actually. And my window would look out to the most beautiful garden, But it wasn't my garden. It was the garden of the neighbor to my apartment building. But you know what? I was a stakeholder. That was my garden. It was. Every time I looked at the window, I wanted to enjoy its beauty. If it rained and they didn't cut that grass in time, I'm like, why aren't they cutting the grass? If the tree was cut down, why are they cutting that? Why are they trimming that bush? My goodness, it was looking so beautiful. Why are they doing this, you know? Why are they blocking my view? I was a stakeholder, basically, a user. I have an opinion, but really I'm making no contribution. I have no standing. I want to encourage you guys that there are many people with opinions about how you should obey God, but they have no standing. Ignore them and do what? Obey God. He has need of you. Amen? Then there's the donkey itself. Think about that donkey. That donkey might have been unwilling. Maybe the donkey really didn't want to go. It's like, I'm not ready. I'm just a young donkey. I'm just a colt. I don't want all that attention. Until now, I'm riding and I am the king. I am the one with the king. And, you know, we are walking on a carpet of clothes and palm. I don't want all that attention. I'm not a horse, you know. A horse should be the one the king rides, not me, a donkey. It might be pride. You know, that was feeling inadequate, but on the other hand, it might be pride. I have the right to self-determination, you know. When it comes to my life, I need to be the one to decide what to do, you know? I just want to say that when determining your own destiny is greater than obedience to God or God-given authority, there is a problem. It means we don't have a surrendered spirit. Choose to submit to God. Have a surrendered spirit. And that's the first thing that could be tying you to that post. Vested interests as a real owner, as a user, or even as the donkey itself. The second thing that could be tying you to the post is wanting more clarity. Think about this. Think about the summons, the brevity of this summons. The Lord has need of you. Think about the simplicity of this summons. the Lord has need of you. Think about the audacity of it. The Lord has need of you. Yani, that's all you'll give me. You'll just tell me that the Lord needs me. I want things to be clear. I want you to explain more. I want you to persuade me. I want you to give me a scripture and a rhema. I want you to tell me that you were praying in the night and God gave you a vision that this is where I should be. But all you're telling me is what? The Lord needs me. The Lord needs you. He needs you. Yeah? So you choose. You choose. Sometimes we don't obey God because we want to know more, to be surer, to have a bigger, greater picture. How did we arrive to this conclusion? What will I do exactly? You know? And the third thing is this: we are unsubmitted. Simply unsubmitted. I know the word submission is becoming one of those words that people don't like anymore. But you know what? The word submission is in the Bible. That's what's in the Bible. It says, just before it says what? Wives, submit to your husbands. What does it say? Submit one to another in the Lord. That's what it says. Why do you have the word of the Lord and I don't? That's the unsubmitted spirit. You came to tell me the Lord needs me. Why didn't the Lord speak to me himself? Why isn't he talking to us? Let me go check with Jesus myself. You know, it's like you're here telling me he needs it. The Lord, where? Akoapi? Let me go check with him. You know, being raised in Lighthouse, I remember Pastor calling this pulling rank on somebody. You know, pulling rank is when Pastor Nelson comes and he's been asked to organize something and he's like, Miss McKenna, I need you guys in Kids House to do this. And I say, okay, fine. All right, I'll talk to Pastor about it. How did that sound? I'm pulling rank. I'm saying, you know what? I will have a discussion with your boss and see whether really I want to do this, you know? That's what pulling rank is. Rank is a military name. It's when a captain tells you something and you tell them, and the major, what did the major say? What did the lieutenant say? You know, that's pulling rank. You know, there is a Lord over you, and this is what he says. The Lord says, I need you. I need you. To the expected opposition, a simple reply, loaded with power, a summoning. Yeah? That power is the power of his word. The Lord needs it. That power is the power of his authority. The Lord needs it. That power is the power of his direction. The Lord needs it. So untie it and bring it. So the disciples did that. He sent the word and the donkey was untied. We are here to untie you today. We are here to say, heed the word of the Lord. Maybe it didn't come in a fire. It didn't come in an earthquake or a storm. But it's still the word of the Lord. It's just a simple message. It needs your simple obedience. It needs your straightforward and calm agreement. Yes, God. God needs me. And like a mindless donkey, we have a choice. How powerful would our lives be if we simply obey, simply heed, simply go, simply do? If you know the good to do and do not do it, it is what? The Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the enemy. How simple is that? God needs you to carry him, to carry his presence, to bear his weight, the weight of his glory to your world. You have been summoned by the Master. This is the first lesson of our month of this series, the summoning. You have been summoned by the Master. You are called. You are needed. You are expected. Amen? I know you guys have been listening, but I want you to take a few moments and have an internal conversation with yourself in the presence of the Lord. And let's ask ourselves, what is it that has me tied to the post that I will not move? Simply heed God's command and obey him. What are the vested interests in my life? And what is it wanting more clarity? Or am I just unsubmitted? Can we do that? Let's just begin to pray, to wait upon the Lord, I want to ask you to do this as an individual. I want to ask you to just bow your heart before the Lord. Submit your heart to the Lord. Even as we did earlier in the time of praise and worship, in the time of worship, just bowing our hearts before the Lord, letting every distraction fall aside, every voice fall aside, every interest fall aside, and recognizing that the Lord has need of me. Thank you, Jesus. Would you begin to whisper a prayer? I encourage you to open your mouth and just whisper a prayer to the Lord. Let's hear the whispered prayers. Whispered prayers in the presence of God. Prayers of submission, prayers of commitment, prayers of dedication, prayers that remove every barrier and every obstacle to our obedience. Lord, we thank you. Lord, sometimes we are the greatest obstacle to our own success. Oh Lord, sometimes we are the greatest obstacle, the greatest barrier to our own breakthrough. And Lord, today I pray that you will help us to see that we may see your path is the best path, and that you want us to see, you want to show us that path more than anything else. The Bible says in Psalm 32, 8 to 10, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Amen. Shall we just commit ourselves to trust in the Lord? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.